Well, welcome to the memorial service of the 2015 annual our yearly meeting. It was my privilege to conduct this last year, and it's still my privilege this year because nobody else from the ministry and council wanted to do it. So I guess I'm, but that's fine. I think it's a privilege to do this. And this evening we'll be doing the recording service, and it's going to be an honor and a privilege to do that as well. So it'll be a busy day for me, but that's good. That's why we're put here, to be used and abused. You guys use me, and the grandkids will abuse me, and that'll be fine with me. I'm going to read a portion of Scripture here, and all of you here will recognize this portion of Scripture, but I think it was very fitting for the type of service that we're about to begin. He said, and he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come to your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. That's what we're here to celebrate today, those that are with him in paradise. And as I was reading through the memorials yesterday, as I was getting my list prepared, most of the memorials that I was reading through had at the beginning, very beginning, the first few words of it, it were in celebration of life. So I think that's why we're here today. We're in celebration of the life that these people had from the very beginning. Boy, I must have really stepped on a short. Oh. And which is true of all of us who have accepted Christ as a personal Savior. We already have eternal life. And when this shell that we live in finally expires, that's when our soul is set free to live with Christ. Today you shall be with me in paradise. Now, as we have done last year, I will read off names. I will give a moment of pause to give anybody an opportunity to speak about the person who I've just named. And somebody will come around. I got some portable microphone up here, but somebody will come around, hand you a microphone so that you can speak, and then we'll move on to the next name. Now, last year I had tried to arrange the names in the order of the meetings. This year they won't necessarily be in any particular order because I just wrote them down as I select them out of the list that I had. So we will begin with Goldie Marie Blair, who died on February 6, 2015, from the Bear Creek.
A testimony of who Goldie was her funeral. The Bear Creek Church was totally full. Goldie was very involved in the community. She did SHARE, which is a program to help people who can't afford food to get it and last. She was very involved in, she worked for Head Start for a while at Redfield. She was just a very, very caring woman who always sent you a birthday card wherever you were, and was very well remembered by the Redfield community.
Herman Leon Maxson died July 22nd, 2014.
Leon was my uncle. He was a man that was an important part of my life. You know, they didn't have children of their own, so I was his power of attorney for his health care, and he always knew, you know, was very interested in what was going on in my life, and someone that I really miss.
I didn't mention, but he was also from the Bear Creek meeting. Wayne R. Roop died March 23rd, 2015.
Wayne was a very special friend at Middle River Friends. He was married to Barb. I kind of look at them like my senior brother and sister. And he's a very, very special man. He had a heart of gold. He will be missed many, many times by his family and friends. He was always by Barb's side. He was always attentive to helping her. She's still on our ministry and council, and every time I look back in their seat in our church, in their pew, and I can still see him sitting there in spirit next to her. He was faithful to come to church, and he was faithful to do special things for us, like bake cookies and brownies, and anytime we needed him in spiritual support. He will be missed very, very much by all of us.
With Wayne and Barbara Roop. And it was interesting. We were in a play together, and he was my husband. And after the play, he came to me and bowed, and he said, "Margaret, this was a real honor to be your husband for a short time." And he told everybody that, and it just cracked me up. He just had a unique sense of humor, but he was always very sincere.
I didn't say this at the beginning, but if I pronounce a word wrong, feel free to correct me. And I'll have to say that yesterday, as I was putting this list together, I was sitting up in that kind of a... Well, it's over at the MTC building, but up on the first level, or the second level, there's a kind of a little, I would call it like a meeting room, or where they have the machines, the coffee machines and so forth like that. I was having difficulty with one of the pronunciations of one of the last names, and so I got up, and Ann and this other chick was sitting at this table, and I said, "Ann, you know everybody. How do you pronounce this name?" And she goes, "Well, I don't know everybody." "Oh, yeah. Yeah, I went to school with him. I graduated. He and I graduated the same year. As a matter of fact, the chick that was sitting with her also graduated with this guy." Chick, you like that? I'm from the 70s. I'm still in 76 when I graduated. Okay, so moving on. Michael W. Wolf, who died June 28th, 2015, from the Middle River.
Mitch Wolf. Mitch came to us just a couple, 3 years ago when he and his wife moved back. She had grown up in the area and moved back from North Carolina. Mitch was a musician, played in a lot of different bands, particularly like bluegrass music, the dobro, taking up the slide guitar just recently. He was a seeker, and I had the privilege of officiating at his funeral, and in studying his Bible, as I prepared for the funeral, to look at the things that had struck him. And they were things about loving others and serving others. A man who loved to have a good laugh and loved praising God.
Ricky Robin Sr. died May 18th, 2015, also from Middle River.
It
It's interesting to be able to stand and give testimony to husbands of women that I totally, completely admire and love. So Rick was married to Marilla. Marilla is one of those very, very special people who has what people call a God-given instrument, and it's her voice. And when she sings, the rafters just shout back in echoing praise. In comparison, Rick was very, very quiet, but he had a heart and a love for God. And to see him and how he adored his wife and how he sat very silently and quietly on Sunday mornings and supported her ministry to us speaks volumes for the kind of inner ministry that he had. He is another one that we will miss greatly in having him be in our presence on Sunday morning. And I might also just say something that's a little beyond the three that have passed, that Randy officiated at all of these funerals. They all happened in a short period of time. And believe me, if any time in the whole world you ever think that your pastor needs prayer, it's when he's losing members of his congregation physically here. Yes, we know they're in heaven, and yes, we know they're now in the heavenly choir, but it kind of rocks your world a little bit and kind of brings you back to sense of reality. And so, I don't know. We're just really blessed that the three gentlemen that we lost this year have been with us, and we're really blessed that Randy's here with us to help support us as his congregation also.
Isaac, could you give me a little monitor on these microphones so I can hear what they're saying as well? Athena May Hoskins died on June 10th, 2015 from Pleasant Plain.
Althea Hoskins was born July 3rd, 1924 in South Bend, Indiana. She was the husband of Keith Hoskins. Althea, I don't need to read this. Most of you remember Althea and Keith Hoskins over the number of years that they supported Iowa Yearly Meeting, the number of years that they camped over here in the park. I found it interesting, the stories that I hear about the elderly members of my congregation, and I heard about when this young single school teacher came to Pleasant Plain, Iowa. And she came in late to the church for the very first time. And if you're ever familiar with Pleasant Plain Church, you walk in the front of the church. And a young bachelor, Keith Hoskins, was sitting in the back row with a couple other gentlemen. And she walked in a couple minutes late with her King James Bible under her arm. And he said, "Keith, I think that's a woman you ought to get to know better." And Keith says, "I think you're right." Keith and Althea have a very strong personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But in the later years, Althea was really having doubts. And I wouldn't allow her to have those doubts. She had such a mission-oriented heart, a giving heart. As a mother, she raised two sons. And some of you may remember these young, rebellious sons. And what a challenge that was. And later in life, she was assisting in the raising of grandchildren. But just a very strong constitution in loving God and loving family. Thank you.
Cornelia Louise Hoskins died April 19th, 2015, also from Pleasant Plain.
I've got her obituary, too, but I'm not going to bother reading it. Cornelia Louise Hoskins, more commonly known as Althea Hoskins, Louise Hoskins, married to Hubert Hoskins. Their relationship, I would like to refer as to cat and dog. They couldn't live without each other. Man, it was hard to see how they did live with each other. But, you know, they had love. Louise had some physical issues, concerns, didn't make it to church on a regular basis. But she was a member of Pleasant Plain Friends. And that didn't happen until late in life, because she married into the Pleasant Plain Friends Church, but just never became a member. And in the last year, through conversations with her, she goes, "I think I want to become a member." And I explained to her what that really involves and what that really means. And she goes, "Yeah, I really do want to become a member." I talk about Louise, and I talked previously about Althea. I had the privilege of being their pastor and their nephew. I am doubly blessed by both of these ladies.
The next two names are a husband and a wife that died within a few months of each other. I will just announce the names of both of them, and then you can, if there's anyone who wants to speak about it, they're certainly welcome to do that. Raymond Alfred Millett died October 26, 2014. He was from West Branch. And a few months later, Clara Weaver Millett died on May 31, 2015. Of West Branch.
Clara had a wonderful sense of humor, and I went to FCNL with her and a carload of people from Indiana, and I left my purse at the Hardee's in a mountain town along the way, and she never let me forget that. She just was a very, very she always made you feel special.
I'd like to say a little bit about Clara. I always think of her as Clara Weaver because I lived with her in Kenya. She was the first person that I lived with when I went to Kenya in 1962. I learned a lot from her about working in cross-cultural situations, and she taught me how to drive on the left side of the road, and we had a dog, and we sent the man that helped us in our yard to take the dog to get his rabies shots. And when the papers came back, he was registered to WIVA, W-I-V-A, which is how you would hear Weaver. But she was a very special lady. Did a wonderful work in Kenya, and I've admired her in a lot of ways. I miss her.
I was very privileged to know Clara. We served together on the discipline committee, and I tell you, if whenever we were going through something, you'd take it to Clara. She was very precise and very accurate, particularly with her grammar, so I didn't have any problem. She was just great. I remember going to Triennial one year, and a friend of mine from Bangor Liberty went with me, and I was driving, and we offered Ray and Clara to ride with us. And Ray's a pretty quiet fella, but he's a very special person, too. And the three of us ladies, you know, we just chatter, chatter, chatter. And then I'd turn around and say, "Ray, you know, if you wouldn't talk so much, interrupt our conversation so much, you know." And he'd just chuckle a little. But we enjoyed that time with them driving out to Indiana and back so much. They were a wonderful couple. They didn't marry till later in life. But they were very special to each other, and I know they were very special to their meeting.
took a number of youth groups to the West Branch Cabin, and Ray and Clara were always there to welcome you. And even though we tromped right through their front yard and through their cow pasture and everything, and in the quarterly meeting days of my first pastor, it was always neat to see Ray and then discover he had a new bride. What a fantastic thing.
I didn't have the privilege of knowing Clara or Ray, but what I can tell you is a year ago we had Robert Wofula stay with us overnight, and how excited he was, number one, that Millie Jones, a former missionary from Kenya, was going to deliver him to West Branch to stay with Ray and Clara. And that year, at yearly meeting, the theme was standing on the shoulders of giants. He was looking forward to the opportunity of being with these giants.
Bob Prather died June 12, 2015, LeGrand. Ernest John Beato died in March 1st, 2015. He was from the Valley Meeting. I think it was the Valley Evangelical Free Church in West Des Moines is what where he was at.
Growing up at Bangor Liberty community, we were very much aware of the Beato family because the kid's father was a pastor and Paul preached there at Bangor before he went up to a northern climate where he could fish every day. And they were wonderful, a family, wonderful Christians. And I think that in thinking of one of them, you think of the whole group because they put Christ first in their lives.
Anybody remember getting chased by Ernie Beato at camp besides me? I always worried that Ernie, director of camp, he did so many directors of camps, and he always was the one you feared if you were caught out late at night or on the girl's side. Never happened to me.
Anyway, he remained in the area and pastored other churches in the area, but he often would come back and do funerals for people, and he did my aunt's funeral. He was always loved and respected by the people at Bear Creek.
When I was reading through his memorial, I couldn't believe the list of churches he's been involved in. Ernie Latham died April 16, 2015. He was from the LeGrand meeting.
I'd like to speak about the whole Latham family because I knew all of them, and Arthel, Ernie's brother, was one of the two pastors that helped marry my twin sister and myself. And I've known all of them, and I will say that they all were faithful to serving God in any way that they possibly could, and their service was very welcome, and there was a wonderful sense of enjoyment in being a Christian in that whole family. So I think wherever they were, and three of them were in Texas with my husband and myself for quite a few years. And their sister-in-law just passed away this year, but she wasn't a member of the Friends. But all the way through each family, and I will say Arthel's wife, after he had passed away, Arthel's wife and daughter appeared at our door one afternoon, unannounced. And as Catherine came in, she said, I don't know just why we wanted to come, but we wanted to see you. And we always came to see your parents. And I didn't say much, but I said, I know why you came. You're God's angels today. We've just received word that Art's youngest brother had been hospitalized and wasn't expected to live. And he died later the day. So sometimes when you don't know why you're going someplace, but you feel the urge to go, remember, you might be God's angels.
I worked with Ernie's wife some in USFW, but I was very privileged. I volunteer at the Iowa River Hospice home, and I was very privileged to spend a few hours during his last days there with him. And he always had such a positive outlook, always cheerful, knew that he was in God's hands and everything was right. And it was just a pleasure to go in and spend a little time with him.
Leroy Kivett died March 23rd, and I couldn't find a year. So was that this year, 2015? He was from the LeGrand meeting.
Had a pretty big impact on my life. I became a school administrator because of watching him. He was my father-in-law for 11 and a half years, and a very special, gentle man. Very much an encourager. He will be missed by many. All of his children, those students who walked through the doors of his school.
Ruth Muriel Street Weinman died July 22nd, 2014, from the Hesper community. Velma Mae Forbes died March 21st, 2015, from the LeGrand meeting. Wilma Evelyn West died December 16th, 2014, from the Pleasant Plain.
Wilma West was a member of Pleasant Plain Friends Church, a tremendous supporter of the church. They didn't grow up in Pleasant Plain. Homer worked for White's Construction out of Des Moines. They traveled all over the United States on different construction projects. Homer would work long days, and Wilma would housekeep all day. But the thing I remember most that Wilma would provide for the less fortunate employees. She would make sure, she would go garage sailing and make sure that a new employee would have a place to stay and that they would have dishes in their cupboards and that they would have a chair to sit on when they came home to their humble apartment. One of the fondest memories that Bernie and I share. Down in our neck of the woods, we do a little deer hunting. And they were really excited that I enjoyed deer hunting as well. One Sunday morning, they walked in the front door of the church, and she says, I didn't think you'd be here. And I said, well, why wouldn't I be here? She goes, well, it's deer hunting season. She goes, I figured you'd be out hunting. And I said, I didn't know I could. I better take a look at my contract. But later that week, I did score a nice deer, and Homer and Wilma desperately wanted to spend time with us canning deer meat. you know, I've seen canned meat on basement shelves, and it just doesn't look very appetizing. But the men folk have a job in the canning of meat, and the women folk have a job in the canning of meat. And here's a couple. He was 86, and she was 90. And we spent an afternoon with them, just in fellowship. I know this may not be very popular, but we have a pool table in the basement of the parsonage at Pleasant Plain. And so while the women were doing their job, we went to the basement and shot a game of pool. It took a long time to lose a game of pool to Homer, but I successfully did lose a game. And he says, I really need to practice. I said, you can come over any time. He goes, how about 10:30 on Sunday mornings? I said, no, that's not a good time for me. He says, besides, I need for you to ring the bell. So we lost Homer the year before, and we lost Wilma just this year. And I shouldn't say lost. I heard one time condolences to a man who had lost his wife. He goes, I didn't lose her. I know right where they're at. And so when it comes to people like Homer and Wilma, we haven't lost them. I know exactly where they're at.
Robert L. Street died November 15th, 2014. He was from the Hesper meeting.
We all knew him. Was one of those individuals who could do anything and would do anything for anyone. He was a lifelong friend with a capital F, and to many of us, he was a friend, small f. He was truly an inspiration. Like I said, he could do anything, but life sometimes deals us a very bad hand. And with Bob, he was involved in an auto accident. You might say in the prime of his life. And he was paralyzed from the neck down for a number of years. I think it was 15 or so years before his passing. And during that entire time, I've talked to people, and he never had basically a bad feeling. His handicap was simply an avenue through which he could continue doing his thing and provide an inspiration for us. It didn't stop him from being a carpenter or a mechanic or flying a model airplane or being active in his community of Hesper and in Mabel, Minnesota. He became a teacher. He directed people, family, friends, whatever it may be. And I think his legacy will live on amongst those who have known him. It will send the message that there is a reason for everything. And although it may seem to be a disaster in our eyes, in God's plan, well, in God's plan, it had a purpose. And Bob truly served that out, and his memory will be with us. And we will, many of us, be with him later on and relive those moments. Thank you.
Chuck Marvin Wiesner died November 2nd, 2014. He was the pastor of the Stewart Friends Church. I'll just say, you go ahead.
I sort of knew Chuck and sort of didn't know Chuck, but through that process of his meeting, seeking his recording, that's how I came acquainted with him. And I got to know him and his life and where God had put a call on his heart and the struggles that he went through his life to get to the place that where he was. Some of us might have an easy walk, and some of us might not. Some of us, our road might be smooth, some of us might not. Some of us might take some bunny trails and come back. And some of us just have life experiences. But all of that put together by God makes you the person that you are and puts you in the place where you are so that you can be the person that you need to be at that time. And at the time, Chuck needed to be with Stuart, and they needed him, and he needed them. And I am so privileged to have been on the ministry and council and the recording committee that journeyed along with him and his being able to be recorded as a pastor, and how much they still miss having him as a pastor at Stewart.
I had the privilege of meeting Chuck the first time up at on the Quaker Heights ground when he was being interviewed and taking a look at him, and Chuck and I had a long distance special relationship. He would share some very deep things, and we would pray, and I just amen to being put in the place where you need to be. And he was so confident in God's leading and God's grace and his mercy, and I just really appreciate what God did through him with so many people that we may never know that effect, at least on this side of eternity. But boy, he loved the Lord.
Well, it was my honor to have my signature representing the ministry and council with our yearly meeting on his recording, on his recording certificate. And I remember he had at least two rows filled up with family members. And I think they all came up when they stood forward for the presentation of the certificate. But and I really didn't know Chuck that well either until the recording committee started working with him. And so to tell you the truth, at the beginning, I really didn't know what to think of this man. But as we moved on forward and met a few times, and he came and he gave his testimony, after he left, the ministry and council were, I think most of us were pretty impressed with this man. And obviously, he had support from his family because, he had grandsons and daughters and uncles and parents that were involved, so we found out how special he was.
Just real quickly, let me just say that our quarterly meeting pastors' gatherings are much less lively without Chuck. He certainly is missed.
Eileen Loretta McAfee died August 15th, 2014. She was from the Marshalltown community.
Eileen McAfee was a very strong woman, but a very enthusiastic woman, and she always wore a smile, and she was a real enthusiastic person in our congregation. And for those of you that didn't know, there were many years that she rode a motorcycle and did it very well. And she was noted for her skill as a driver on one of those. But she also influenced her family. And some of you will remember that her son has, he's in Indiana now, but her service was held there at Marshalltown, and it was a joyful time because we knew that her reward was great.
Lois Mason died August 17th, 2014, from the Marshalltown Friends Church.
Lois married into the Mason family, and her mother-in-law had been a widow for quite a while, and so women had to take a special role. And I've known Lois all of her married life, and her husband too. And their family has, now we're enjoying having her son in our congregation and his wife. And God's been very important in that family. You might also know that we had a friend's pastor come out of that Mason family too, a woman pastor. Can't think of her name right at the moment.
Peter Macaulay Carter died July 22nd, 2014, and I don't have a meeting. I'm not sure what meeting he was from. The Grand? Well, here's the list of the fortunate ones today. The ones who are blessed, the ones who have seen the face of Jesus already. And soon we'll all be, if God tarries long enough, on a list similar to this. And I noticed that not too many were recognized for what committee they served on, which is a good thing to remember, that our life isn't going to be remembered by what committee we served on. Our life is going to be remembered by how we treated our families, how we treated our fellow man, and what we did with Christ while we were walking on the earth. I'm pretty confident that most of us here won't be in front of the great white throne of judgment. Let's hope not. But we will all be in front of the Bema seat someday, and we will be asked what we did with this name of Christ that we bear. Was that little cross hanging around your neck, did that mean anything? You know, I look at those crosses now and then, and I remember, you know, I think to myself, you know, that cross that Jesus hung on is probably rotted away a long time ago. And so the thing that we need to remember is who we belong to as Christians. Thank you. You may be seated, and I'll turn it over to the pastor of the Tuscaloosa Friends Church.
Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for those that we have known and loved that have shown your light to us and shaped us and shown us your way. We pray for those who somehow didn't make it on the list today, that you would remember them, that we would remember them in our hearts. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us as we step into those roles, as we stand on the shoulders of giants and help others to stand on our shoulders, that you would bless and guide us in that. Just ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.